Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, and our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region, bringing you the headlines for the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It's the 21st of July, 2026, a Tuesday. A new survey of voters in what will likely be Montana's more competitive U.S. House race suggests Republicans and Democrats share a lot of common ground when it comes to artificial intelligence. The polling in Congressional District 1 was conducted by the Program for Public Consultation between May 27th and June 23rd. It found more than 8 out of 10 Republicans and nearly that many Democrats support government-designed tests for new AI programs. About two-thirds in each party support government audits for programs already in use. About three-quarters of surveyed Republicans and nearly 85% of Democrats support the creation of a new federal agency dedicated to artificial intelligence. The same polling found similar numbers among voters statewide. A major settlement between states, the Federal Trade Commission, and John Deere marks a step forward for farmers' right to repair. The movement advocates for manufacturers to provide equal access to parts, diagnostic tools, and software typically restricted to authorized dealers. The lawsuit argues John Deere's repair policies violate competition laws and force farmers to rely on dealers. According to the settlement agreement, the company must now provide the same repair tools to farmers and independent providers. Montana Farmers Union says agricultural producers have lacked the ability to repair their own equipment for over a decade. In a statement, President Walter Schweitzer says the move is, quote, monumental. November 3rd, Yellowstone County voters will be asked to approve a $175 million bond and a $20 million mill levy to fund the Yellowstone County Detention Facility Renovation and Expansion Project. According to a Monday news release, Yellowstone County officials have launched a new website, ycjailexpansion.com, to educate and provide information on current operations and future needs, all in one place. County officials have also created Yellowstone County Jail Expansion Facebook page and a YC Jail Expansion on Instagram as part of their information and education campaign for the project. Fisheries managers are taking public input on efforts to preserve a native fish habitat in north-central Montana. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is isolating a population of West Slope cutthroat trout in Harley Creek and removing non-native populations upstream to expand the fish's range. They say a bedrock barrier has so far blocked the upstream movement of non-native trout, but it's unclear how long it will remain effective. FWP says the trout are genetically unique in the region, and they're hoping to increase their population while also shoring up the existing habitat. To do that, FWP plans to build a fish barrier that would section off more than 5 miles of stream in the Helena, Lewis, and Clark National Forest. They then plan to remove the non-native fish upstream. The work would double the fish's population and habitat. Public input is being accepted through Wednesday, July 22nd. A black bear that caused multiple bear conflicts in north-central Wyoming County this month was euthanized by Wyoming wildlife officials. A 4-year-old male black bear was trapped on July 10th by Wyoming Game and Fish officials after repeated calls to the Bighorn area in Sheridan County earlier in the week, after days of repeated food rewards from accessing residential garbage cans. Game and Fish personnel made the decision to lethally remove the bear instead of relocating it because of its continued presence in residential areas and documented food rewards. Wildlife officials remind residents to keep garbage inside a garage, shed, or other hard-sided structure until the morning of scheduled pickup. They say bungee cords and ratchet straps on top of lids or rocks on lids will not keep bears from getting into the trash. Montana has a new tool to help fight wildfires, and managers say it'll help with quicker, safer responses, Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection reports.
The state's Department of Natural Resources and Conservation is implementing a new aerial supervision program, which will include a single-engine plane that can stay in the air for long periods of time. It's designed to strengthen communication between planes fighting fires from above and crews on the ground. The Fire Protection Bureau's Jay Lindgren says the biggest bonus is that they no longer have to rely on federal support.
Us having a platform that is under operational control of the state of Montana, we can assess those threats and position it where it most benefits the state of Montana.
Lindgren says federal resources have been diverted to large fires in Utah and Colorado, leaving Montana with limited support. There are also concerns at the federal level about budget cuts and plans to reorganize the U.S. Forest Service. The Trump administration wants to cut the agency's budget by 65% in fiscal year 2027. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
Wyoming audiences are just as committed to Shakespeare as Montanans. A Friday night downpour in Sheridan last week did not stop the show. It actually may have hastened the performance of The Merchant of Venice somewhat, as the performers surely eyed the approaching bank of thunderheads. Even as the occasional audience peeled off with chairs and kids in tow, the overwhelming majority stuck it out and rewarded the cast with a hearty standing ovation just as the clouds opened up. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks is back close to its Bozeman base as it performs the comedy Much Ado About Nothing in Chico Tuesday and Columbus Thursday. The Merchant of Venice rolls into Gardner Wednesday and Big Sky on Friday. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks is in its 54th year of free public performances. The company will visit over 70 locations across 5 northwestern states in its annual itinerary, featuring 2 rotating plays. For the schedule and more information about Montana Shakespeare, visit shakespeareintheparks.org. A prominent social media influencer known for her Montana history videos is joining a fight against something she sees as a rising threat to the Treasure State's character, AI data centers. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy sat down for a conversation with Billings-based artist and historian Mary Kate Teske.
So, Mary Kate, you grew up in the Badlands of eastern Montana. How would you say your childhood shaped your interest in Montana history and what you do now?
I grew up on a farm, and that farm was in the middle of nowhere. It was 7 miles outside of a town of 500 people in the Badlands, and it was very inspiring to me as a young child because I was in nature and I worked outside in nature. I was not only part of the agriculture industry, but was a steward to the wildlife and to the cattle, to the Yellowstone River, and it influenced me to really take a note of the landscape, and that's been an inspiring part of my life, and I always reflect on those deep roots that I have of growing up on a farm in Terry, Montana.
You have built a platform, for people who don't know, of sharing Montana stories, facts, sagas online, and you've done videos on what seems like literally everything, from the Flathead Lake monster of legend to Montana architecture to the city of Billings' ban on pet rats. I think even lifelong Montanans would learn a thing or two from your videos. I know I certainly have. But I am curious, how do you go about choosing the stories to tell on your channels or finding those stories in the first place?
I've lived in Montana for most of my life, and I've listened here and there to different anecdotes, rumors, stories, and I followed that personal curiosity, and whatever I'm curious about that morning, I usually let that drive me to find a story and research. And I do research longer, bigger stories. I'm currently researching a big rabbit hole that I've been going down, which is about the Anaconda Copper Company. There's other rabbit holes that I go down, and I just follow that curiosity. People will also tip me off to different stories, and I just keep following that.
Just a few weeks ago, Mary Kate, you started an online petition seeking a ban on AI data centers in Montana. It's now up to nearly 18,000 signatures. Why did you choose to get involved in this very hot button debate? And why did you choose to do that right now?
I am a resident of Yellowstone County, and there is one of the world's largest AI data centers proposed for Yellowstone County. Quantica is supposedly going to be building a 5,000-acre AI data center. It is going to drill into an aquifer that is part of the Eagle Sandstone Aquifer That is north of Billings. My fear is, what if everything goes wrong and that eventually drains into the Yellowstone River? And that river feeds Billings, Montana. And this proposed data center is the largest proposed data center, not only in Montana, but also it's one of the largest in the world. And it is going to affect the residents of Billings, whether we like it or not.
In this day and age, Mary-Kate, I feel like it's often a hard decision for people with a platform, especially like yours, to choose to weigh into a political issue. And whether we like it or not, data centers have certainly become a political issue. How did you go about making that decision?
I see it as my constitutional right as a Montanan to take this stance, and I don't see it as a left or right issue. I see it as a human issue. Whether you're left or right, you need to drink water. And that water sustains our life, it sustains our wildlife, it sustains our environment. And if that, again, is compromised in any single way, that affects all of us. I'm taking the stance for all sides of the political party. I'm taking the stance for humanity because I see it as a greater issue that affects all walks of life.
And one more thing, I know our listeners love this stuff, and you've got a lot of it. What is your favorite tidbit of Montana lore that you have learned from your years researching the state?
We have over 10,000 miles of mines in Butte, Montana, and all of that was produced from the Copper Kings of Butte, Montana. And we have one of the largest Superfund sites in Montana because of those Copper Kings. So when I'm looking at these AI data centers, which ironically are full of copper, all I see are the new Copper Kings, which are, again, environmentally disastrous to Montana. So as I learn about Montana history, I'm going down a rabbit hole of the Anaconda Copper Company and how detrimental it was to the environment in Montana and how there is still active reclamation going on in those environments. And as I look at history, I am able to parallel that to the present and to the future. And that is what I am analyzing, is the comparison of the Copper Kings of the past to the data centers of the future, and what it's going to do to the environment of Montana.
Mary-Kate Teske is a photographer, musician, historian, and much more based in Billings, Montana. Mary-Kate, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Austin.
That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.